So this morning, it was a kind of last minute, we decided to come here to West Akron, and I'll admit my thought was, well, surely after Eastern Camp, there'd be a visiting minister who came from farther away than 10 minutes down Hametown Road to serve. So in this morning hour, I covet your prayers, brothers and sisters, and we know that the Lord will provide. So with the help of the Lord this morning hour, I will turn to the second chapter of Ephesians, and I'll read some of the latter portion and then into chapter 3 as well. So with the help of the Lord, I'm going to be reading from the second chapter of Ephesians, verses 18 through Ephesians 3, verse 12.
Браћо наше, да се с Божји помоћ чита и из посланица апостола Павла Ефесима, друга глава, почетак на 18. стиху и у трећу главу до 12. стиха. Ефесима, друга глава, 18. стих.
Ephesians chapter 2, verse 18. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation of grace of God which is given me to you word, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in a few words, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power, unto me who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, whom created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access. There's a word that's in both the first verse I read and the final verse I read from the scripture, and that's the word access. And in this morning hour, with the help of the Lord, we'll go through what access means and its significance in both a worldly, physical, and a spiritual sense. The word. So access is the ability to approach, gain entry to, have a conversation with a person. It's there, it's present, but it doesn't mean a whole lot in many cases. In many cases, it's a good thing, in many cases, it's a bad thing. And in other cases, it's kind of just something that doesn't even have much relevance to one's life. So if we think about what we have access to, we have the important things in this land. We're very blessed. We have access to clean water. We have access to grocery stores that have about any kind of food we can imagine at a price that we can, in most cases, afford. And we have these sustaining things. We have access to shelter. We have access to means of transportation in most every instance. And those are very helpful and good and necessary things. And we can think about the access we have to things that are damaging to us physically and spiritually. We have easy access to cheap alcohol, drugs, tobacco, all those things that will damage our body and souls, and our phones. We don't even have to get into the horrible access we have there in those instances. And then we have some access that's pretty meaningless in our lives in most cases. We probably have access to any number of real estate offices that could sell us a $5 million home. But without, $500,000 or so at least to put down, that's kind of a moot point. We have access to probably any number of car dealerships that could sell us automobiles in excess of $100,000. But again, without the capital, it's meaningless. And this repeats itself all through the earth. Some of you have been in third world places. I think in Zambia, people there still are dying from access to clean water and the inability to do that. But yet in that same place, 5 miles away, there's a Land Rover dealership where they could spend $200,000 on a Land Rover, but that's more than most of them will ever make in their entire lifetimes. So those points, those accesses are meaningless and at times very frustrating. But we get into the most important access we have, and that is the spiritual access. Verse 18, through him, Jesus, we have access by one Spirit unto the Father. We have in that one verse God the Son, God the Father, God the Holy Spirit, and we know that Jesus left us the Comforter when he departed this earth. And through his shed blood and the leaving of the Holy Spirit, we have access to the Father. The most important access we can possibly have. Paul's speaking here to the church at Ephesus. Ephesus is in modern-day Turkey. Some of the ruins are still there from this time period. In Acts chapter 18, there's a brief mention of the founding of this church at Ephesus. And then in Revelation, they get a not-too-pleasant sentence, to put it mildly, for their actions and their backslidings and their lack of trust and unbelief. But in this time, Paul's writing to the church at Ephesus is founded 15 to 20 years after the death of Christ. So this is his audience here, and he's reminding them that in spite of their background, there's no foreigner to Christ. Everybody's a fellow citizen in this body, this household of God, numbered amongst the saints, for those who are covered by the shed blood of Jesus Christ, who have taken advantage of that access through the Holy Spirit. And the foundation of the church, as stated in verse 20, foundation of the apostles, the prophets, Jesus Christ himself, the chief cornerstone. Lots of people here are familiar or work themselves in the building trades of how important the cornerstone is to any structure that is built from stone or from a non-framed wood house. Just the importance of Jesus Christ being that centerpiece in each and every believer's life. And by Jesus, the building fits together. And It grows, verse 21, into a holy temple in the Lord. And Paul's reminding those Ephesian believers that this is how things come together. When all of those who were of various racial backgrounds, different traditions, different ideas came together, united by the Holy Spirit. And how they should be a holy temple in the Lord. In the final verse of chapter 2, in whom ye also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. Reminded again of the importance of His guiding, the Spirit's guiding. How this can cause all of these people in a short amount of time to come together to forsake the pagan lifestyles they had, to forsake the unholy things in their life, and come together in this habitation. And then chapter 3, it flows nicely. Paul's saying, for this reason, I, Paul, who a prisoner, Jesus Christ, unable to escape the power, the awesomeness of Christ's indwelling in the Holy Spirit, writing to these Gentile believers here in Ephesus about the grace that's been dispensed upon them and how they live in a time, and we live in a time, where the promise has been fulfilled, the prophecies have come about in Christ Jesus, His shed blood is there, and His mercy and grace are available to everyone in that day and in this day. And through the coming of Christ, this revelation was made known, and verse 3 says, the mystery that prior to Christ, there were the prophets, there were the Old Testament words that pointed to His coming, but nobody knew the day, nobody knew the time. It was a belief, it was a faith that this fulfillment would come about, that these prophecies would come true. And now these Ephesian believers have lived in this time. Most of them were alive when Christ was on this earth. Perhaps some of them were in His presence during His time. We don't know for certain. But they have that advantage. But we have that advantage in that we've seen all of these prophecies, all of these promises come true in Jesus Christ. And we've felt, hopefully, the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives as believers. And we know when we have this awesome knowledge that we're 2,000 years almost from the time Christ died. But think about the majority of people in history prior to Christ, more time than since Him, didn't have this mystery revealed. There was a ability to hear these prophecies, to believe that God would keep His promise, but what an advantage we have in this day and time that we have all of this revealed to us, that Jesus Christ was amongst men, and we're in a day and time of grace here in 2023. And we have all of these letters together in one place. We have the entire New Testament available to us. And that these believers back in Ephesus, we don't know for certain what letters they had access to, what they may have read, what they may, you know, have translated into their language that they could even turn to. But they believed. Paul came to them, preached Jesus Christ, His shed blood, the Holy Spirit, and they believed. And Paul makes reference to all those other ages prior to Christ's coming, not known unto men, but it's now revealed to the apostles and the prophets by the Holy Spirit. Paul's not taking any credit for this in his own. It's not, I, Paul, because I have studied so hard, because I'm so astute, and I've put all the pieces together from looking through the Old Testament scriptures and figured it all out in one place. No, Paul gives credit where it is due by the Spirit. And now the Gentiles are fellow partakers in this. They have the same access as the Jewish people. They're part of the same body, partakers of the same promise. This is stated in verse 6, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And because of this, verse 7, Paul is a minister. Because of the gift of grace of God given unto him and the continual workings of his power, we probably, most of us believers, are aware what Paul went through, the suffering, the persecution, the beatings, the times where he was within an inch of his life for proclaiming Jesus Christ. But it's a testament to the effectual working of his power. Power of Christ. Indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And in verse 8, he refers to himself as the least of all saints. Through this grace, he's preaching to them, the Gentiles in Ephesus, of the immeasurable, King James says, unsearchable riches of Christ. All of those things given to him through the unsearchable riches of Christ. In verse 9, nice summary of the purpose, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. That they have this precious faith, this precious fellowship. It's not just gathering of friends to talk and to have a good time, to eat together, to catch up on how things are going in their lives, but they have this fellowship in Christ Jesus, who from the beginning of the world hath been hidden God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. Again, referencing the time before Jesus. In verse 10, Paul speaks about the principalities and powers in heavenly places, and that the church has a purpose of making these heavenly powers and principalities known. And that we're given manifold wisdom of God, the last words of verse 10. Brothers and sisters, think about that. That we have the wisdom of God when we're in situations where we're feeling awkward, where we're feeling trialed, where we're feeling like we're inadequate. Just remember, the manifold wisdom of God. What more do you need in that situation, whatever it may be? And over here in the Western world, we're very fortunate. It's not direct physical persecution. It's more of, ooh, what do I say here? What do I do in this situation? How is this going to be perceived? How is it going to be taken? But we have the manifold wisdom of God in all those instances, and prayerfully seeking his will help us to have the words no matter how inadequate we feel. According, verse 11, to the eternal purpose, which was purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. No beginning, no end, eternity. That's our purpose. Christ came to this earth, preached, instructed, innocently went to the cross, died for our sins. Our eternal purpose, proclaiming that. See, I have a few minutes. Romans 10:9 is a good reminder. I'll just turn to that verse. Romans 10:9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Start there if you are not in this morning hour one of God's children. Believe in your heart, confess with your lips. And finally, verse 12, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. We can approach Christ's throne in humbleness with a submissive spirit, with absolute confidence that his promises will be kept, that there will be a fulfillment of his will. We have the access, the ability to approach his glory. Unworthy as we are, each and every one of us, we have this access in this morning hour. Do we deserve it? Absolutely not. But access has the component of it's there, it's available. But you have to want to approach. You have to have that desire to serve him, to have the Holy Spirit guiding your life, guiding your footsteps, guiding your purpose in this life. Because if one doesn't take advantage of that access, if one chooses to stand back and look from afar and gaze upon it and not make that commitment to approach, the access is meaningless in your life. If it's not taken advantage of while there's yet a day and time of grace, if it is not important enough to you, this remaining time we have on this earth, however long it may be, and for an eternity, we will have that unending regret, unending malaise that we didn't have the boldness to access with confidence him in faith. Amen.
The scripture says, the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. This water of life and salvation that's been offered through Jesus Christ, and this access demands a response to take action and to come and to partake, to enter in through that straight and narrow gate, and walk in that straight way of Jesus Christ. As I consider the idea of access, the picture came to my mind of a hallway filled with doors. And it seems as though that when goods are increased and we have things going well, that the doors are plentiful, the opportunities abound. But I was reminded this morning that many of the doors that we have access to do not edify. And so there's a call to action when we come through the door of Jesus Christ, when we partake of the fellowship of the mystery that we've read of today, that there are many doors that need to close and remain closed. Believers in old time took Jesus' words that if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. Or if your eye offend thee, pluck it out. The way that they carried it out in the book of Acts was they were steeped in pagan traditions. And they wanted to close that door. And so they brought all their books of witchcraft and their sorceries. And instead of selling them to make a profit, they burned them. They closed the door to the world and had that door that was open to them of access to our Father, access to fellowship with God, open before them and as their cherished and priceless possession. May we also hear the call to action and enter in and hold all those other opportunities as ones that we leave far behind to God's honor and glory. Amen.